Chapter 37. She was driven at some pace past a fenced-off compound. Communications and community centre, access through security gate only. Within, Maggie glimpsed huddles of tents, a few permanent buildings, and disparate-looking groups, some gathered around campfires, some singing songs, one lot mounting some kind of demonstration up against the wire. All on the inside of the fence. Marine grunts, blank-faced, wearing heavy body armour and carrying blunt-looking weapons, stood outside the fence and stared back in. Heavy containment for a communications and community operation, Maggie murmured to Cutler.
Yeah, I'll loan you my Lieutenant Keith. She turns out to be good at dealing with the wackos.
Wackos, Ed?
Protesters against the project. We've had to do some security screening. We stopped a couple of bombs. Oh, and some who love it all a little too much, on the other hand. They turn up here at random. That's stepping for you. And we just have to round them up from all over the Thinker's site. And that's a big area, believe me. They're in a cage in there, whether they know it or not. We officially interview them. And we have a closed-circuit comm system so they can make their little video programs and jabber and scribble away to each other. But they are in a cage, and that's where they'll stay. As long as they stay calm and keep back from the fences, everybody's happy.
She thought she heard distant music, a gentle, lulling singing, as if by some vast, distant choir. She tried to focus. What kind of protesters?
You name it, we got 'em. UFO nuts, conspiracy theorists who think it's all the communists making a comeback from the stars.
Or Hitler, said Sheridan with a grin. Old Adolf's a candidate too. I'd be disappointed if he wasn't. Cutler said,
Then you have Christians wondering about the state of grace of these people in the galaxy who sent the message, whatever they are, and some Islamists who fear the Thinker is blasphemous. Maybe we're building some kind of image of God. On the other hand, there are some Christian cultists who believe we should build it precisely because it will destroy the world and bring on the coming of Christ. Take your pick.
To be fair, Roberta said, many of the Next express similar views, at least concerning the unquantifiable threat the project poses.
Cutler said, It's more serious than that, Maggie. These egghead Next are no more united than we are. There's a faction of them here, I told you, call themselves the Humble. They can call strikes, walkouts, go slows, but they are not just agitators. They're a kind of...
He waved a hand, searching for the word.
A cult.
Roberta smiled. Cult? Actually, I think that's quite an appropriate word, Admiral. They claim to be following Stan Berg's teachings. Are you familiar with Berg, Admiral Kaufman? I myself attended the sermon under the beanstalk. Maggie raised her eyebrows at Cutler, who shrugged. But they are perverting Berg's words. Be humble in the face of the universe. That's translated by the humble as, be humble before me. Do good. Sure. As long as the good is what I say it is. As long as it's good for me. Apprehend, Cutler snorted.
Philosophers. We got a zoo of them here. You know how you can tell a philosopher? By how many words he uses when he beefs about the John being blocked. Ah, it's all hot air. But you need to keep a watch on them, Maggie.
I can see you have it all under control, Ed. He eyed her, evidently unsure if she was mocking him. Indeed, she was unsure herself. They drove on from the compound, and Maggie saw they were heading for another fenced-off area, this one much more extensive. The fence itself was enormously long, running from horizon to horizon. She was reminded of the supposedly rabbit-proof fences that they used to build across Australia. Everything about this project seemed to be on a monumental scale, even the fences. Looking through this latest barrier, she saw more activity. Wide, sprawling buildings, watchtowers where supervisors, or maybe guards, peered down at the action. Big components being manhandled by teams of hefty workers. Hell no, they were too massive for humans. And she heard that singing, rich, detailed, an unending round. trolls, she breathed. You've got trolls.
No, Ed said gleefully. You've got trolls. You always did like the damn Harrys, didn't you? Well, be careful what you wish for. It's like the UFO types in their tinfoil helmets. These beasts just turn up, and you gotta put them somewhere. So we built this fence to keep them out of the more fiddly stuff. Not just trolls, actually. Some of those other humanoids have come wandering in. The kobolds, the ones that can speak a little English. Hell, they speak it better than the average Marine.
Jane Sheridan put in, Hey, don't knock the kobolds. If not for Fingers swap meets, I'd have run out of underwear long ago. Join us, said Roberta Golding with a smile. The invitation wasn't just for us, you know. Not just for humans or next. And it was broadcast on more channels than just the radio spectrum, which is why the humanoids are showing up here. Maggie goggled at all that. Run that by me again? No, later. We need to talk, Professor Golding. Of course.
Down!
Suddenly, Ed Cutler had his hand on Maggie's neck and was forcing her over, sideways and down into her seat in the vehicle. Around her, she heard weapons being drawn, triggers cocked. And then she heard a gruff bark, like a big dog or a wolf. Maggie grinned. I know that bark.
Stay down!
Let me up, damn it, Ed. Nobody shoot, and that's an order. A certain natural authority worked in her favor as usual. Ed, nominally her superior, backed off and let her straighten up. The rest, Jane Sheridan and Ed's officers and guards, lowered their weapons warily. Something was running at the fence from the far side. A huge, vigorous body on four legs. A wolf, unmistakably a huge one. Even Maggie flinched when it reached the fence. But it pulled up and stopped, panting. Then it raised itself up on its hind legs, not like a dog standing for a trick, more like a human straightening up, a male, low of chest, short in the legs, but standing comfortably. Now it could be seen that the beast wore a kind of jacket, replete with leather rings and deep pockets, and it carried a wrench in one paw-like hand. Maggie got out of the vehicle, went to the fence, and pressed her hand against the wire. You too?
We heard. Join us. We rode the twains. I saw your ship.
Good to see you, Ensign Snowy.
And you, Admiral.
And the Beagle snapped a brisk salute.
Give me strength, murmured Ed Cutler.